أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى الحر بالحر والعبد بالعبد والأنثى بالأنثى فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فاتباع بالمعروف وأداء إليه بإحسان ذلك تخفيف من ربكم ورحمة فمن اعتدى بعد ذلك فله عذاب أليم ولكم في القصاص حياة يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تتقون. كتب عليكم إذا حضر أحدكم الموت إن ترك خيرا الوصية للوالدين والأقربين بالمعروف حقا على المتقين فمن بدله بعدما سمعه فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلونه إن الله سميع عليم. فمن خاف من موس جنفا أو إثما فأصلح بينهم فلا إثم عليه إن الله غفور رحيم.
O you who believe, the law of equality has been prescribed for you in cases of murder. The free for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. And if any remission is made by the brother of the murdered, then grant every reasonable demand and compensate with kindness. This is a concession and a mercy from your Rabb, and whoever exceeds the limit after this, then for him is a grievous punishment. And in the law of equality is the saving of life, O people of intelligence and understanding, that you may restrain. In the previous period of ignorance, there was the law of equality was not practiced. Like this is a second period of ignorance, then the first period of ignorance was in the time of the pagans, where the law of equality was not practiced. So a person of influence, his blood was counted to be more precious than the person who had no social standing. So if, for example, a person of social standing had killed someone that had no standing, a poor and downtrodden person, then it wasn't a serious case. Something would be just given to compensate and the matter would be ended. But if it was that a person of influence and standing was killed, then sometimes an entire tribe will be killed just for a single life. In Islam, it is very bold and clear that the blood is the same, whether it is the blood of an influential person or a person of no standing. The blood is the same, be it of a man, be it of a woman, be it of a person of social standing or no social standing, and even if it is the blood of a slave. So every blood is identical, it is equal. So if it were that an ordinary slave was killed, then the person that was the one that is the perpetrator will be killed in lieu of the life, in lieu of the blood of the slave. The similar law will apply if the person that had killed was a woman, then the woman will be killed for this murder, even though a woman had killed a person of influence. But she is the perpetrator, then she will be killed in lieu of the blood that she has caused. So be it a slave, be it a woman, be it a free person, whoever is the perpetrator, then he will be killed. And it will not be seen whether that person who has committed the murder is a woman, a slave, a person of influence or no influence. All these things will not be taken into consideration. Rather, the law of equality will apply to one and all equally. فَمَنْ أُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٍ. However, a consideration, a concession has been made that if any remission is made by the brother of the killed, by the brother of the murdered, a remission is made, then grant every reasonable demand. Whatever is reasonable, whatever is agreed upon, then pay it to the brother of the killed person. He has the right to exercise his right of equality. If he wants life for life, he's got all the right to do so. But if he wishes to remit, then he has the right to do so as well. But in the case of remission, then some type of compensation is given. So this compensation, whatever he is demanding for, let it be done in a good, reasonable manner and compensate with kindness. Don't delay the payment when the man has remitted and he is forgiven a serious thing like a murder and he has forgiven. Now the compensation that is due, then give it with kindness. Again, the compensation will be equal whether it is a man or a woman, a man of influence or no influence. Then, as explained earlier, blood is identical, is equal. We will not say that one person's blood is more precious than the other's. So this is a concession and a mercy from your Rabb. Then after this, if any person exceeds the limit, then for him is a grave punishment. And remember, in this law of equality, there is the saving of life of people of understanding that you practice restraint. The law of Allah Ta'ala cannot be replaced, it cannot be substituted. Moving away from the divine law will create and cause complications, like it is become an international norm that they have left out the law of equality. Then as you move away from divine law, then there is no substitute. You will complicate matters and it will become so confusing that you will not know really what to do. So the simple thing is the law of equality has been prescribed, and this really is the thing that will save life. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. It is also prescribed that when death approaches anyone, and provided he has left behind wealth, then he should make out a bequest for parents and for the next of kin in according to reasonable usage, and this is due from the righteous. Then whoever changes the bequest after hearing it, then the guilt is on the one that has changed it, and Allah Ta'ala is all hearing and all knowing. But if any person fears any partiality or any injustice on from the side of the testator, from the side of the dying person, if he fears any type of partiality or any injustice, and he brings about some type of a settlement and peace between the parties, then there is no sin for him, for Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most compassionate. The laws of winding up estates. Initially, there was no law of the winding up of estates. When there was no law pertaining to the winding of estates, and a person approached death, then it was his duty that he should make out a bequest for his parents and for the next of kin. And then the law of winding up estates had come in, and this law of making a bequest for the parents and for the next of kin was abrogated and cancelled. However, the thing that cancelled this was the prescribed law of the winding up of estates. So in the winding up of estates, then Islam has prescribed definite shares for the next of kin, for the parents, for the children, for the wife, and for the brother in certain cases. that all these people have prescribed shares and the Shariat has defined and confirmed their shares. But apart from these shares that have been defined, then the Shariat has also made a provision that the dying person can make up a bequest up to 1/3 of his entire estate. For any other person that doesn't fall within the ambit of his heirs, one is that class of people that the Sharia defines as his heirs. Obviously, when the Sharia has defined their shares, then they will not be eligible to any type of bequest. But those people that the Sharia doesn't define as heirs, a man can make a bequest for them. Example, his grandchildren or some distant relative of his, or for some dini cause he wishes to make up a bequest, he may do the same up to 1/3 of his entire estate. The procedure when a person passes away is, first we will cover his funeral expenses. That means the immediate funeral expenses, the kafan and dafan, not anything beyond the kafan and the dafan. That is the first step, that his wealth will be accumulated and we will utilize it for his kafan and his dafan, his enshrouding and his burial. The second step will be that we will see if he has left behind any dues and anything that is unsettled, debts that have not been settled, or he has any trust in his custody, all the trust will be discharged. And similarly, if there was any outstanding debts, then he should discharge it. And therefore, it becomes an obligation, it's obligatory, when you have something in your possession, you have a trust, or there are some dues that have to be still discharged, like debts, etc., then it is an obligation, not an optional thing, rather it's an obligation that you write it down, that so much I have got, and this is a debt supposed to be paid to so-and-so person. So this is the first thing that has to be done after the person has died, that his dues and his debts all have to be settled from the entire estate, even the entire estate is used up for the same. And to make this efficient, then the dying person should make a record of all this, so that not to complicate matters, people may then dispute that your claims, the heirs may claim that the creditors are making unfounded claims. So if everything is in writing, there are witnesses to the same, then this will avoid any type of complication, any fights, any type of disputes. So it becomes an obligation that the dying person, he should ensure that he makes out a bequest for anything that is outstanding. Debts, for example, or he has any trust in his possession, or any other thing that is outstanding, he should make out a bequest, so there is no type of misunderstanding, confusion, and disputes after the person has died. فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ فَإِنَّمَا إِثْمُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُبَدِّلُونَ. And then nobody has got the right to change the bequest. The dying person has made out a bequest, then nobody can change the bequest after his death. However, the dying person himself, he made out a bequest in favor of some person, that this amount of wealth must be given to this person. If he wants to make a change and he wants to alter his bequest, he has all the rights to do so. So, فَمَنْ بَدَّلَهُ بَعْدَ مَا سَمِعَهُ has all the rights to change the bequest as long as he is alive. But his heirs have no right to change and bring about any amendments to the bequest after he is dead. But there is one exception to the rule. مَنْ خَافَ مِنْ مُوسٍ جَنَفًا وَإِثْمًا فَأَصْلَحَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ. The dying person, the testator, if anybody has a fear that the testator will be guilty of partiality or something that is unjust, so he brings about a change and he brings about some correction, then there is no sin on him. For example, the Sharia says that the heirs don't have any share in the bequest. The heirs have definite shares, so no bequest must be made for the heirs because the shares have been defined. When the shares have been defined, then they haven't, then there shouldn't be a bequest made out in their favor. Now if the dying person, the testator, he makes out a bequest in favor of any of his heirs, then this is wrong. Someone realizes it, that the dying person has made this mistake, perhaps he did not understand, and he corrects the situation, then there is no sin for him, for Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful.